all the time. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning and Happy New Year. We have three readings today. The first one is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, and we'll be reading from verses 1 through verse 6. I don't know what you guys all did last night. I watched TV, and I was watching the ball drop in New York, trying to get my mind around tens of thousands of people crammed in a small area waiting for a ball to drop in 30 seconds in the rain. It was interesting, and you know, people reflected on the year, and that was great. And then inevitably, through the course of it, you're going to have people ask you, well, have you come up with any New Year's resolutions for next year? And I thought, you know, that's always an interesting thing, because we all at some point try to do that. But I thought about something. No matter what our New Year's resolutions are, we can never completely control the outcome of it, because we just don't know what this next year is going to be holding. I can make a resolution to do something about exercise and getting in shape until I get sick, and all of a sudden that throws me off course, or that interferes with another resolution I make about work, and the two conflict, and I never can control the outcome. I'm a salesman. I can say, well, I'm going to make so many sales calls a year. I'm going to call on so many customers. And there is a book of Proverbs that tells me probability is in my favor. If I work hard, there'll be a return, but there's no guarantee. Anybody who's been in sales or any part of life know that sometimes you put all the work in and nothing happens from it. That happens a lot. I can vow that I'm going to try and repair a relationship with somebody, maybe somebody who is an enemy, is a thorn in my side. And I could, quote, kill them with kindness and bury heaping coals on their head, right? But you know what? I can do all that. They still just might hate me. And the more I thought about it, I came to the conclusion the only thing I have control over the outcome in this coming year is this. If I seek God with all my heart, He will come to me. He promises that. If we seek after the Lord, He's going to come to us and we're going to get closer to Him. That's one promise and one control we have, that if we seek after God, we're going to find Him. He's going to find us, more likely. So that in mind, let's read these scripture verses. Jeremiah 17, starting in verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. Our second reading is from the book of Psalms, chapter 37, and we're going to read from verse 1 through verse 9. Psalm 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Our last reading is from the book of John, and we're going to be reading from verse 1 through verse 7. The book of John, chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? I'm sorry, I'm going too far. I'm going to finish this anyhow. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? And the words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me doing his work. Believe in me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe in the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So ends the reading.
Like to invite kids to come down. Happy New Year. Why, thank you. What year is it again?
2023.
Oh, that's right. It's so hard to remember sometimes. How did you enjoy last year? Good. All right. Well, that's good. Well, we hope we make it through this one, yeah? That's good. That's good. I, growing up, used to like this book called The Little Engine That Could. Did any of you read that? It was kind of a fun book. I was little like you guys, and my mom and my dad or someone would read it to me. And I learned that this little engine had to carry a big, long train up a really steep hill. And it was so steep that the little engine didn't think it had enough power. And so in the story, there's a part where the engine starts coming to the hill trying to pull the long train. And you hear the engine speaking to itself, I think I can, 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 I think I can. And he pulled the heavy train all the way up the hill. You see, he was talking to himself and he was encouraging himself. I think I can do it. I think I can pull this train all the way over the hill. And so he was saying, I think I can. And they would always read it to me like an engine going, like that. And so that is what I want you to understand. In today's sermon, Paul is also talking, David is talking to himself, and he's speaking something really important. Remember David, the guy who killed Goliath?
Yes.
You ever wonder what he was thinking? I mean, was he thinking, oh my goodness, this guy is so big? No. What was he thinking? Do you remember what the Bible told us he was thinking? Yes. You want to? Oh, that's who the Goliath was thinking, yes. What was David thinking?
God is here.
Yes, God is with me, right. And so he was saying in his own way, God is with me, God is with me, God is with me. And he was talking to himself so that he would no longer be afraid and that he would be able to fight Goliath. Well, in this song that we're reading today, and it's a psalm, and a psalm is a song, okay? And it's a song that David is singing, and he's actually singing it to himself, and we get to hear it also, where he tells himself, do not get angry, don't be afraid, do not get upset, don't get angry. And he's telling him that stuff so that he does what God wants him to do. Well, in my sermon today, I'm going to try and explain that to the adults. And you also can listen to that part too, where he's talking to himself going, I don't want to get angry. I don't want to be worried. I don't want to be afraid. And then he tells himself the truth, because God is with me, because God will never leave me nor forsake me. And just like when he fought Goliath, he knew that he could win because God was with him. And that's part of what he wanted us to understand in this psalm or song. So you got that part? That's what we're going to be covering today. Good. And we're going to hear what David had to say to himself and everything else. Here we go. Ladies first. But go quick. Because in 5, 4. Go ahead, guys. Hurry up. Grab one. Just one. Just one.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, don't fight. There we go. There we go. Hurry up. 3, 2, 1. Well done. I think I can. Whenever David writes a song, and then we got to remember these were set to music. He was writing songs that in many cases spoke to himself. And he really was encouraging himself. I don't know if it was, I think I can, I think it can, I can. But you understand he was speaking to himself. He was speaking to his innermost being, and he was singing it in a way that it stood out, that it made sense in his mind and in his heart. So when you read the first verse in that psalm, Psalm 37:1, it says, David, first point he makes, do not grow weary or grow angry or burn up. All right? Because the good-for-nothing evildoers out there, all right? And it says, don't be jealous or envious of them either. And here's David, don't be jealous of doers of iniquity. How come that wicked politician gets so rich and I'm struggling? Ugh. How come this judge makes that kind of decision? Ugh. How come? You understand? That's what we're talking about. As we move out of one year into the new year, the word I want us to kind of put in my mind, or your mind, or our minds, is the word trust. And I want you to understand, I was looking up the word trust in the concordance, and the word trust probably appears more often in the Psalms than any other particular section of the Bible. And it becomes so important that God keeps emphasizing, where do you place your trust? And his point ultimately is, as we picked out from some of those other places, as we become aware, that if you put your trust in men, or you put your trust in mankind, it says, you're going to be cursed. It's that psalm that, or that verse that was read out of Jeremiah. You want to be cursed? Put your trust in men. Well, it isn't that God necessarily is going to be the one cursing you, but you bring yourself under a curse because God himself, Jesus said, I don't put my trust in men either because I know the heart of men. I know the heart of human beings. I know what they're capable of or incapable of. And if you put your trust in them, they're going to hurt or disappoint or let you down. Whether it's your children, your husband, your wife, a friend, a neighbor, other people you grew up with, whatever it happens to be, and God is whispering to you, why bring a curse on yourself by putting your trust in men when instead that same section out of Jeremiah says this, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. So we come into the new year, and I'm setting a tone, and I'm giving a vision, I'm trying to speak out for us, what is it we need to do? And the answer we have to come up with is I need to put my trust in God. I can't even put my trust in myself. How many of you have broken a promise to yourself? I'm going to lose weight. I remember doing a sermon once about a battle between me and a chocolate chip cookie. And if you saw them, there's chocolate chip cookies in the kitchen in there. And I go, the darn things keep winning. So I happened to be on a program where I was trying to get some weight off. And here's the chocolate chip cookie in front of me. And here's my brain and all of my intellect and years of life experience. And the whole story ends with, boy, that chocolate chip cookie was good. And I go, and I lost. The point is don't put your trust in yourself. Don't walk into the new year thinking you're going to make it. Don't walk into the new year thinking you've got it all together. Walk into the new year with a heart that leans, a mind that rests on Christ, that sets its eyes on my Savior, who I can trust, who is trustworthy and deserving of all of that focus and attention in my life. If I start to focus on myself, some circumstance, like we were sharing before, Jeff was sharing, yet you cannot predict, can enter your life and take you out in a split second, walk you in a totally different direction than you thought your year was going to go. And that's the way it is for all of us. And so, you know, the writer of Jeremiah simply is going, put your trust in God. Why bring a curse on yourself? By trusting what? In the government? You're going to trust in the governor? You're going to trust... And he isn't trying to tell us to be harsh or insensitive or uncaring. He ultimately says, where are you going to rest your confidence and your hope? Where are you going to be aware when someone seems to pull that out from underneath you, you know, kind of like Charlie Brown in the football, when that thing is pulled out from you, where is your real trust going to be? And Jeremiah simply says, I have to trust in the Lord. And he points that out and he says this, you will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. What do you want to be this year? You have a choice. You can be an unfruitful vine, branch, bush parked out in the desert going, I didn't expect this to be like this. I didn't know it was going to be so hard. I didn't know the government was going to do this or that or this enemy was going to take us out. I put my trust in America. I put my trust in the government. I put my trust in the Constitution. And I look at you and I go, I understand why we say those things, but the invitation for us today is to put your trust only in Christ. And in Christ, that promise of God's faithfulness remains strong and faithful to you to carry you through whatever circumstances you have to deal with. So it says this point, don't get glowingly angry, verse 1 there, because of evil men, and don't be envious. And it's easy to be envious. How come they get rich and I don't? He's a cheater and a liar. I was going to ask the kids if you've ever been in a school or a situation where you're taking a test after 43 years. I saw a little bit of this now and again. And you know, you don't know an answer, so they steal an answer from the person sitting next to them. And you begin to understand what his point ultimately says. How come they get a better grade than I do, but they stole my answer from me? And those are the kind of frustrations that you begin to understand. And so here's David talking to himself, and he says, they're going to be like grass that will soon wither. And he points out also, they're going to be like a fresh sprout, all right, a green plant, and they will soon die away. They won't have what it takes to survive. And he points that out further, and he says, instead now, verse 3, trust in the Lord. It sets your tone for the year. It sets you on the path of blessing. It sets you on a path of victory. It takes you out from under the curses that come upon you when you're foolish or naive or angry or whatever the case might be of putting your trust in people. You're always going to be disappointed by them. Do you put your trust in the fellow believers in church? Why would you do that? Do you think we should trust you? I jokingly say no, but I sincerely mean it. It's the reality because we have fluctuating emotions. We have up and downs in terms of everything in our life. We wake up one morning with a headache and we don't feel good, and our attitude is significantly different than another day. And the very people that trust that we're going to be reliable and consistent in their lives, we become unreliable and inconsistent. And we prove ourselves to not be trustworthy. That doesn't give you permission to hate them. It doesn't give you permission to say, I don't have to love you because you're not a trustworthy wife or a trustworthy husband. What God says to you is, hey, wake up. What did you think you were marrying? Oh, I thought she was just flawless, Lord. I didn't think he had any sinful nature in him at all. And God looks at you and says, what, are you nuts? I don't think he quite talks like that. It's a little bit of a loose translation. But the idea, of course, is, how can you be so silly? What did you think? You married a perfect woman? That you were going to have only ideal children? That your circumstances are always going to turn out just sweet for you? And God calls us out on that, not to be angry with us, but to call us, love her anyway. Forgive and love him anyway. I didn't call you to love a husband or a wife with an emotion or a feeling. I called you to love them with a decision. The decision is not how you feel on a particular day. It's not how you emotionally feel today. It is a decision that I will put him or her first. I will value what he or she needs before my own. And I will treasure them with that kind of commitment because that is the way my Savior has loved me. And it's from him that I actually learn what love really is. Otherwise, I get swooped up in this Love American style when I look at him or her, fireworks go off. And I get on the love boat and whatever else we got nowadays for out there, to all the crazy things that we substitute for the faithfulness of God. God whispers to you, I do want you to love him. I don't want you to trust him. Not because he isn't trying, but because he's human. He has feet of clay. And he'll say those things and break those promises, and she will do those things and act that way, even though she doesn't intend to. And yet in the middle of it, God sets you in the right direction. I asked you, do you want to make a decision today to love this woman for the rest of your life or not? Is your decision today to love this man for the rest of your life or not? To put him before you? If it is, answer, I will, or I do. And you begin to understand why this is such a significant thing, even in the marriage covenant that many of us made. And you begin to understand why God moves it from a feeling into a decision. And he points out, in the next point, it says this, trust in the Lord, and the second thing, do good. All right? Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Adds another one. Notice verse 4, another verb at the beginning. Delight yourself in the Lord. And then it finishes it off, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Do you think that means God's going to answer every one of your desires? Is that what you think that means? Excuse me. Every once in a while, I talk too long, too loud. It says this, as he points it out, delight yourself. Let there be a kind of confident softness between you and the Lord. The Lord is, there's no one more important in my life. There's nothing I want more. It's a kind of a feminine term about the love of a mother for a child, of that tenderness that just takes such joy in having the Lord close to you, like you would a child when you hold it close to you. And he points at it and says, delight yourself in the Lord. And he puts down, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, my heart can desire everything under the sun, but if I'm delighting in the Lord, my focus, my attention, my emotion, my tenderness, my life is focused on an intimacy with God. And in the moment of that intimacy with God, I begin to see and want what the Lord wants for me in my life. And he gives me those things and makes them real in my life and makes me want them. I want to learn how to love people without the up and down emotion that I can be triggered by. I really want to learn what forgiveness is. I really want what you have for me, Lord, because I don't want to continue to be the person that I have been. And so as he grants you and moves into your life and gives you the desires of your heart, you begin to understand the intimacy between you and the Lord. Next verse, 5, commit your way to the Lord. And it means the path of your life. And the word commit is actually roll it. It sounds strange, but it means to roll this all on and into the arms of the Lord. Roll it there and leave it there. Commit, sell out, roll all this onto the Lord's back. Put this all in the hand of the Lord. And it says this, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and justice of your cause like the noonday sun. And he goes, that's God on your side in whatever circumstance you're in. That's God solving your emotional struggles with your husband or your wife, a son or a daughter. That's God carrying you through COVID. That's God walking with you in the middle of whatever it is you fear or struggle with. That is the promise. And he points it out there. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. It's going to manifest in your life. You know, I sometimes treat my husband so horribly. Somehow that man still loves me. And you realize he's become a shining example of the love of God, not only to you, hopefully, but maybe to your children and your extended family and people around him. And you reverse it. And either way, that's the point he's trying to make. I will make the righteousness that is in you. It'll glow. You will radiate it. It will be poured out of your life in every possible way that you can imagine. And he points out that second part then, and it says this, and justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Justice means you will get that very thing that God wants in the middle of this situation. In the middle of a struggle, God gives you the victories that you're desiring and seeking after. And those will begin to manifest as you continue to trust in him. And it goes on from there as it says this. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not get all burned up. Don't fret when men succeed in their ways when they carry out their wicked schemes. That's not easy to do when you look around and see the governance sometimes of the local authorities and people and some powers and different individuals, sometimes in your own profession, as you look up and see the unfairness of those above you treating you badly, or they charge $100 of which you get $2 of it, and even though you're the one doing all the work. And all those other things that we can explain and have dealt with watching ourselves or others do the work and miss out on what we believe is the fair and proper benefits. And so he carries that through to that point. He says, don't fret when they get it, and when it says when they carry out their wicked schemes. Instead, refrain from anger. Turn from this kind of hot-headed wrath. For evil men will be dealt with, cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. You understand? When you get this right, when you start to say it like Jeremiah said it, I will not put my trust in men. I will not put my trust in earthly things. I will not put my trust in money. I will not put my trust in those authorities even in my life. I will trust in the Lord, and trusting in the Lord, I will obey authority. And trusting in the Lord, I will forgive my husband or my wife. Or trusting in the Lord, I will love my wayward child. Trusting in the Lord, and you begin to understand what God's communicating to us. And so we look at this song that David was singing to himself. And I realize he sings this out loud to himself because he needed the same encouragement you and I do. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee. Trusting thee for full salvation, great and free. And I go, why do we sing those songs? Why do we sing Amazing Grace? Why do we sing the fact that he loved us anyway? Why do we sing those very words? Because we need to hear them in our own spirit, like David did. We need to hear David's encouragement. We need to hear the confession of faith from Jeremiah. I've learned an unbelievably significant lesson. It took me a lot of years. People are going to hurt us. Churches are going to hurt us. Pastors are going to hurt us. Friends are going to hurt us. Children will let us down. Wives and husbands will let us down. But as for me, I will put my trust in the Lord, and I'll love them anyway. I will forgive them anyway. I will walk with an integrity that isn't my own because the Lord has filled up those things that life, people, circumstances have tried to steal from me. My hope is in the Lord. Pray with me if you would. Lord, apart from you, we get caught up in the silliness and the foolishness of the world. Apart from you, Lord, we get all messed up and turned around. I'm asking you, Lord, for the grace that we need today to just receive from you the love that we need today. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to learn how to set our eyes on you. But then after our eyes are on you, to draw from your strength, your power, your healing, your truth into the middle of our circumstance and teach us what it really means to love like you love, to forgive like you forgive, to show mercy like you show mercy. Come and bless each of us. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. God's people say, amen.